Westminster Confession of Eight, chapter, Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 8, section 3. The Lord Jesus, in his human nature, thus united to the divine, was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure, having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, to the end, or for the purpose, that being holy, harmless, or blameless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety, which office he took not unto himself, but was thereunto called by his Father, who put all power and judgment into his hand, and gave him commandment to execute the same. Well, the previous paragraph explained that human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ was united to the divine nature. He was fully man and fully God. But as this paragraph explains, he was also full of the Holy Spirit. I think it's true for many of us that when we read the Gospels or meditate on our own salvation, we often marvel at the sheer extent of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. He is a man like no other man. He's the one who is sanctified or set apart from all others. Well, when we seek to understand our Lord, it can be tempting to think that the answer to his uniqueness lies in one direction only, that the man Jesus was divine. But as we're reminded here, the reason for the uniqueness of our Savior also lies with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was completely sanctified or set apart and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He alone had that measure of the Spirit that was without limit and beyond measuring, as John the Baptist once explained. This anointing of the Spirit is spoken about directly in the Bible. It can also be seen when one looks at the results of the Spirit's work. Christ was the great treasure store of wisdom and knowledge, as Paul recalls in Colossians 2. And the psalmist looks ahead and speaks of one who is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. We see in Christ all the fruit of the Spirit, not simply a gladness or joy, but we also see in him one who is holy, blameless, and pure, as Hebrews says, one who is full of grace and truth, as John says. We hear the Word of God tell us then that Jesus is filled with the Spirit. We see the evidence of this in his life. And of course, we also need to remember that Jesus Christ needed to be full of the Holy Spirit because God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. The fact that the fullness of divinity dwelt in Christ did not remove the need for the Holy Spirit. It really amplifies it. Now, all of this, of course, was for a purpose. The reason is, or the purpose is, that a Spirit-filled person like Christ was needed to be thoroughly equipped to take up the highest office of all, that of a mediator or a surety, a covenant head of the church. Christ was full of the Spirit so that he could be full of all other good things necessary for effective mediatory intercession and for effective covenant representation. That's the Jesus that was needed, of course, in his own day, as Peter explained to Cornelius and his household. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And why did he do that? So that he could go about helping others and defeating the devil. But the other side of the work of the mediator is that of a surety. We distinguish between the two, but of course we can't separate them. Let me explain what I mean by a surety. A surety is a person who undertakes some specific responsibility on behalf of someone else. The surety in modern English is closer to a guarantor, a person who makes himself liable for the default or miscarriage of someone else, in case that should ever happen. No matter what the cost, this person guarantees to fulfill anything that anyone else was obliged to fulfill but did not. Well, Jesus is the guarantee of the covenant that we discussed in previous weeks. And he knew that the cost of serving as a guarantee for us in this covenant would be high. For he knew that we are perpetual covenant breakers. No matter how great the blessings, no matter how sweet the contract, men and women do not keep contracts with God. And we saw that in the beginning as Adam and Eve broke their relationship with God in Eden. And so Jesus knew what a task this would be. One could not be a mediator unless there was some basis on which to mediate. Christ could only be a mediator of the new covenant that speaks better things, as Hebrews 12 says, if he also became the guarantee or surety of that covenant, as Hebrews 8 says. And yet in his grace and mercy, Jesus accepted that office. He did not take it upon himself. Incredibly, he would have considered it an honor to do so. But no man takes this honor or this glory to himself. He awaits the call of God, as Hebrews 5 explains. And that call came. Our Lord Jesus Christ was called by his Father to be our mediator. And the Father gave him all that he needed. Of course, he gave him the Holy Spirit beyond all measure. For his task was immeasurably difficult and his suffering would be great. But it would be a mistake to end by thinking only of a mediator in weakness and not also the mediator in all of his strength. Our mediator is one who is given all power, as Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew 28. And to him is committed all judgment, as is spoken of in John 5. This mediator is no longer suffering. He is not dead. He is risen. He is ascended to the heavens. And as Peter explained to that great crowd almost 2,000 years ago at Pentecost, that same Jesus who once was crucified, God has now made Lord and Christ. And it's through this risen and ascended mediator that we worship God this morning. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us Jesus Christ as our mediator, the only mediator between God and man, and our great salvation. We thank you for him, and we thank you that you have filled him with the Spirit, that you gave him every gift that was needed to perform his great task. And we ask that you would, as you unite us to Jesus Christ, give us your Spirit too, so that we too would honor you. For we are not like he was. We are not God and man. We are men and women in great weakness. And so if he needed the Spirit to perform his tasks, how much we need that Spirit as well, as your creatures. So we pray for the blessing of your Spirit, even as we go to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.